Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, this past weekend, we wrapped up rookie orientation, 2 days of practices, really about 2.5 or 3 days for the rookies to get acclimated to Green Bay and kind of the practice structure, the meeting structure, everything that they'll be going through once OTAs and training camp begin. But one guy, and obviously so, generating a lot of attention amongst the fan base, fourth-round draft pick Vince Beagle, the outside linebacker from Wisconsin. And we find out that the first day he walks into the Packers locker room, he turns to find his locker and sees the nameplate, and the nameplate to the left is Clay Matthews, and the one to the right is Nick Perry. He's right in between the two starters and the two veterans at his position. Kind of a neat situation for the young guy.
It really is, because, Mike, the way that rookie camp works, too, is that the Packers, they get their draft class in here, but they get here in time that they end up somewhat crossing paths with the veterans. So it was actually funny. Beagle said he did come across Clay Matthews. First thing he did, reach out his hand and introduce himself, has looked up to him for a number of years, and now he's sharing a locker right next to him. So that's the NFL, though. I mean, that's what happens. You run in these situations. I think D'Angelo Yancey talked about it, too. One of his childhood kind of idols was Randall Cobb, and now here he is right next to Cobb in that locker.
Yeah.
You're thrown right into the fire. And from Beagle's perspective, the Wisconsin kid, Wisconsin Rapids, drove into town. First guy to get to the first rookie to get in town. Was really excited to get out there, and I think you can tell just the enthusiasm he holds with this opportunity. For a lot of kids, this might be a lot of pressure. Being the Wisconsin kid that played for the Badgers and has such a long history in the state with his father and grandfather, but you can tell just talking to him, it's something that he really is embracing.
Yeah, he's embracing it, and he's also at the same time keeping his emotions in check and you know, keeping it real, so to speak, because you think about that. His locker's right next to Clay Matthews. This is a guy that, you know, he rooted for and watched him help the Packers win a Super Bowl when he was a high school player in the state.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the kind of thing you have to, you know, separate yourself from it a little bit and you know, step back and take it all in. But Vince Beagle's here for a reason. He's here to help this defense. He's here to get after the quarterback. The Packers drafted him in the fourth round for a reason, and he knows that as well.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, Mike, think about it this way. I mean, you coming out of Northwestern after you got your degree, I'm sure there was a handful of sports writers that you sort of looked up to. Vince Beagle, his idol is Clay Matthews, a guy that plays the same position as him in a very similar 3-4 defense. I think that has to be a really unique opportunity. Now you're working alongside one of those people that not only you've looked up to, but also has a lot of similar characteristics in terms of the background and now getting this opportunity. But first and foremost, I mean, he also understands that, you know, this is Clay Matthews' defense. You know, Nick Perry has had an exceptional year a year ago. Those are the two guys the Packers are going to be counting on for their pass rush. But Vince Beagle, Kyler Fackrell, Jayron Elliott, even Reggie Gilbert, who has taken part of the rookie orientation camp as well after spending all of last season on the practice squad, those are the young men that are trying to fill out that rotation, because when you do lose Julius Peppers, when you lose Dayton Jones, 1,100 total snaps, 8.5 sacks on the season, you have to find ways to replace that.
Yep.
And I think Beagle is going to factor that equation. It's not all on him, but it's an opportunity for him to come in and contribute right away.
No question about it. Now, as far as his first day of practice as a Green Bay Packer, didn't exactly go as planned. He ends up injuring his left hand, has to leave practice. Completely minor deal. He ended up going back out to practice for the second workout with a little wrap, a little club on his
right
hand, but nothing that anybody's concerned about. Just one of those unfortunate things that happens, kind of, you know, puts a damper on your first day, maybe, so to speak. But Vince Beagle's enthusiasm, everything, he's right where the Packers want him to be and right where he wants to be. Mike McCarthy talked about how he was right up in the front row at the team meeting.
Right.
I mean, he's there. He's ready to take notes. You know, going about this in a very business-like way, as much as, all the excitement and the emotion from being drafted. And I mean, who would have thought you know, when Vince Beagle's a high school star in Wisconsin, that his first day as a professional football player, he's going to drive himself to work right. at Lambeau Field from his home in Wisconsin Rapids. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, no. right?
And especially considering some of the alternatives is flying out to Seattle or San Francisco or New York. I mean, he's got to stay within one Highway 29 trip away from Green Bay. And I think that's pretty special. But the other thing I like about Beagle, too, you have to understand, this is an education to me a little bit with Beagle. I know you follow the Wisconsin football program really closely. I will admit, I didn't get a chance to watch the Badgers probably as much as I wanted to last year. So, I mean, getting a chance to know him a little bit. I mean, we heard him talk at the NFL Scouting Combine.
Yeah.
The way he carried himself and conducted himself, the way he speaks. Even when he came in and did the one-on-one with Larry McCarron for Packers.com and their pre-draft special, it's really impressive the way that he kind of controls the situation, I would say. And Alonzo Highsmith talked about that. When he took the field at the Wisconsin Pro Day, this is a young man that really spoke and walked with a lot of leadership. And I think that's something that we're getting a little bit of a flavor for now in his first couple days here as a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And we've got plenty more rookies to talk about from this past weekend. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. Wes, continuing our discussion of rookie orientation, might as well go right to the first two picks, Kevin King and Josh Jones. We heard a lot about their size. Kevin King, a 6'3 cornerback. Josh Jones in that 6'1, 6'2 range as a safety, 220 pounds. They came in looking as advertised, and I like to use the phrase when I kind of first see a rookie, a young guy out there on the field, you know, does he look the part? Kevin King and Josh Jones look the part to me.
Yeah, they certainly do, Mike. I mean, that kind of like the Beagle thing when I talked about his leadership a little bit. You can talk about Kevin King being 6'3". You can talk about Josh Jones being, you know, 6'1", 220 or whatever he's going at. Until you actually see those guys on the football field, I don't think you really appreciate how big they are. I mean, it was actually... trying to think, it was Aaron Jones, I think, is the one that said it. He was asked about, you know, have you ever seen a cornerback like Kevin King before coming out of UTEP? He's like, I haven't seen a cornerback like him. I haven't seen anyone like Josh Jones. I mean, I got out on the field. There's some big guys there.
Yeah.
That gives you an idea of not only the direction the Packers are heading with this defense, but the way the league is going in general. Both really tall, lengthy guys, but also run really, really fast.
Yeah, they run like the wind.
And that's really ultimately what you're looking for on defense these days, and the Packers have two really intriguing guys to work with now.
Yeah, we got a taste of their personality a little bit, too, in meeting with the media face-to-face for the first time. I know you had a little bit more opportunity to talk with Kevin King. I was in a group of reporters around Josh Jones, and really the thing that struck me the most about him, and I wrote about this on our website, from a personality standpoint, it's really easy to be kind of captivated by his personality because he's a very confident young man. He believes in himself. He believes in his abilities. But there's also an undertone, I would call it, of humility a little bit.
He comes very engaged.
Yeah, he comes from a single parent mother, who instilled a certain type of work ethic in him. He knows there are some high expectations being placed on him here. But he also knows that nothing in the NFL is going to be handed to him. He says, hey, my motto is no handouts. I want to work for it. And when you hear, you know, some people might say that's contradictory. Yeah, he's really cocky or arrogant in one sense, and then he changes his tune. I don't really see it that way. I just think it's kind of that's kind of his whole personality package, and you really get engaged by it.
Yeah, talking to him and listening to him speak, it definitely is captivating because, I mean, that was the one thing that really stood out to me, just hearing him listen to questions is, I mean, he's sitting there every time a guy has a pause in his speech, he's like, yes, sir, yep. I mean, he's staying with it and is really, you can tell he's into the process. And understands what this moment means and how big this is for him. Now, the other thing is, you want to get back to just his personal makeup, he feels like he's perfect for the time and place in which the NFL is in right now.
Yep.
He can play safety. He can play down in the box. He doesn't want to be sort of restricted to one area. He feels like he's a guy that can help you throughout a defense, and he's going to have two really good safeties to learn from in HaHa Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett. Clinton Dix, obviously the Pro Bowler now, and seeing what he's done over this last year. Morgan Burnett, the established veteran, the guy that played throughout this defense last year and this secondary a year ago. I think that part of it is really interesting. And then also from the other perspective of Josh Jones, just coming in now to Green Bay, getting this opportunity, what this means to him and wanting to show that he's everything he's hyped up to be, he's incredibly motivated. And I think you can get a real good feel of that just getting a chance to talk with him a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree. He talked about, I asked him about how he felt about how the draft went and whatnot, and he didn't like the fact that there were eight safeties drafted in front of him. He said, I'll carry a chip on my shoulder for that. I'll be motivated by that. But as you said, at the same time, he feels like he couldn't have asked for it to work out any better to come to Green Bay and to get an opportunity in this defense, in this system. We saw him taking snaps at inside linebacker in kind of the nickel dime packages, the same position that Morgan Burnett played and that we heard from Mike McCarthy, that he wants to expand on that, which means if you want to expand on that role in a defense, you got to have more than one guy who can play it. So the Packers are potentially looking to groom Jones in that way. And as you said, he's fired up. He's excited. Same thing in a lot of ways for Kevin King. You got a chance to get a little bit taste of his personality. What'd you think?
Yeah, King was interesting hearing him talk a little bit about his journey to get to Green Bay and what this has been about. Obviously, we talked last week about Hardy Nickerson and the role that he had in his development going back to Bishop O'Dowd. But now that he's here, it was actually kind of funny. He mentioned it was actually his 22nd birthday on Friday. And with all the things going on, all the commotion of rookie orientation and just getting into the rhythm of things, it actually kind of was lost on him until I think it was one of the people at the practice or at the on-field work said to him, hey, Kevin, happy birthday. He's like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, thanks. Right. But that's what it's about right now. This is a dream for him. And I thought it was really good. He reiterated again his decision to stay for that second day of the draft, and he had a real funny quip about, well, I knew I was going to get picked eventually, so he, you know, he didn't really think there was that much risk in sticking around, even if he had to wait a little bit longer, but he didn't. He became the first pick of the Packers, and even though he's a second rounder, if you go back in the archives, that's how it's going to go down. The Packers are excited about him. I mean, this is a first-round type prospect that Joe Witt now gets to work with and try to continue some of those things he did at Washington. He played safety. He played in the box as a nickel cornerback, something a lot of 6'3 cornerbacks don't do. And he also was a shutdown corner on the boundary on the opposite side of Sidney Jones. So a lot to be excited about with Kevin King.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting as we get later this month and the OTAs start and seeing those guys working their way into the defensive backfield. You mentioned Clinton Dix and Burnett, and working with those guys, it should be fun to watch. So with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, touching on one of the what has become a rookie orientation tradition here in Green Bay, the first night that all the rookies are here, and we're talking about the draft picks, undrafted rookies, as well as a couple of dozen tryout players who are all brought in for the weekend. The first night, they have a nice dinner for them, and then they have a movie presentation. And no, they're not watching the latest Will Ferrell, comedy or whatever, but it's a movie about the Packers' history and tradition, the 13 world championships, the Lombardi years and the Super Bowls and the Super Bowls under Mike Holmgren and Mike McCarthy, all of it kind of wrapped into one. And then that video ends with the faces of some of the new rookies being worked into these Packers pictures, you know, giving them the message that there's a lot of history and tradition here, but now you're a part of it. And as we talk to the rookies, the message always seems to sink in. I've never seen the movie myself. We're not a part of that meeting, But it's something that seems to work. It seems to get the message across the way the Packers would like it to.
Well, there's two things of this that I really like. The first thing is they do this every year with the rookie class, but it's also something, maybe not in the same form, but they do videos like this too for the entire team. So whether you're Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers when he was in Green Bay, Clay Matthews, a lot of guys have been a part of these things, and it just reminds you that it doesn't matter if you're a two-time MVP quarterback or the long snapper. I mean, you have a big role on this football team, and you're valued in that way. I have to imagine, and getting a chance to talk to a few guys, I know Kevin King discussed it, D'Angelo Yancey, the fifth-round pick out of Purdue, discussed it. What it's like when you're sitting in that room, you're watching this video, you're seeing the 13 world championships, you know, the Bart Starr moments, and then you see your face at the end of it, where they include all the headshots of the current rookies in I have to imagine that's an incredibly powerful moment, and I thought Yancey probably said it best in that it's what tells you the it's no longer a dream. You're here.
Yeah.
Everything you've worked for, it's right in front of you now.
Yeah, and that's the message that Mike McCarthy likes to send, not only to the draft picks, who obviously, you know, have a little bit of a leg up in terms of in terms of that evaluation coming out of college, but All of the undrafted guys, you know, 15 or so that were signed, a couple dozen tryout players, as I mentioned, everybody who comes in for rookie orientation has an opportunity, and you have to just do whatever it takes to make the most of it. Whether that's trying to land that contract as a tryout player, whether that's trying to make a really good first impression as a top draft pick on your assistant coach and show him that, you know, you're here and you mean business and you know that whatever you accomplished in college doesn't matter anymore. There's all sorts of different ways that these guys have to handle this introduction to the NFL. And really, it's kind of a jam-packed 3 days, but it seems to get the job done, because then when these players come back to start OTAs with the veterans, they're not just completely lost and confused.
Yeah, exactly. And you get definitely a feel for the background and the history and all those aspects of being a part of the Green Bay Packers. But the thing I thought that's really powerful, too, is that no matter who you are on this team, or if you're the first-round pick like Kevin King, or you are, as you said, a tryout guy that's trying to land a contract, you get the same message. And I think that's incredibly powerful, because this is your one shot. It's all you. I mean, the eyes are only on the rookies, and Mike McCarthy's been really careful to say, you know, they don't look at it as a rookie camp. It, you know, it's a rookie orientation. It's about getting guys in here and letting them know what it's going to be like. It's never going to be smooth. There's going to be rough patches. Everybody's picking things up on the fly for the most part, so they can be ready as possible once they get to organize team activities and get into that third phase of the offseason program. But this really is something where you get the undivided attention of your coaches. They're getting a first look at you. The scouts that, you know, followed you for months, if not years, getting a chance to see you in a Green Bay Packers uniform, the green and gold, seeing how it looks on them, that's a big moment for everybody involved.
Yeah, there's a lot of time that goes into the personnel department, the coaches, in scouting these players and whatnot, and Mike McCarthy made that comment that you go through all this, you meet these guys at the combine or on a pre-draft visit, and then you get to see them in the green and gold. It's pretty cool, because it's sort of the labors coming to fruition, so to speak. You don't get to draft everybody you want. No. You don't get to sign everybody you want, but it's neat to see those guys that do end up here.
Everything coming full circle, and now getting a chance to make that transition to the NFL, and hey, see how everything you built up for 18, 19, 22 years, where that gets you now at this point.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, we'll throw to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, in our last segment, we mentioned a couple dozen tryout players brought in for rookie orientation. And lo and behold, five of them get signed, get an opportunity to stick around. I don't have all the names memorized yet, but if I recall, two defensive backs, two linebackers, and a running back will be part of this rookie class as the Packers move forward.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, there was 24 young men that came in looking for a chance to make an NFL team and an opportunity to go to a training camp. Five of them getting that opportunity. They are Aaron Taylor, safety from Ball State, David Telly, linebacker from Grand Valley State, William Standback from Virginia Union, before that was at UCF, Rayshon Pringle from Southern Utah, and linebacker out of Cal Poly. Here we go. Are you ready for this one? Josh Letuliasinoa.
Well done. I made sure you had to say that, not me.
A young man that had a lot of success at that level. Now, the thing you usually see with these tryouts, Mike, typically you're not going to see a whole lot of guys from, you know, Florida or Washington, Alabama. It tends to be guys that are more under the radar. FCS level football, Division II football, as we said with, you know, the Grand Valley States of the world. So it is interesting. This is their chance to show that they belong. And there's always something that, you know, maybe they don't exactly meet on the NFL radar. But I thought it was really interesting when Elliot Wolf was talking to the media during the draft about what they look for. He said they look for a trait, a skill, something they excel at, even if the other areas are a little bit more unrefined. That's the number one telling point for them with undrafted free agents and tryout guys. And then the other thing, Mike McCarthy mentioning, you know, when they go through the rookie orientation, a lot of times the coaches have their eyes on these tryout guys more than anybody else because it's their one shot in most cases to see them on the field. And in this particular case, found five guys who they feel like could belong.
Yeah, exactly. And you said the word exactly. Mike McCarthy uses it a lot. What he looks for as he's watching, it's just a very general sense of, does this guy belong?
Yeah.
When he's working out with his position group, or if it's a quarterback who's making a series of throws in the route tree, does it look like he belongs at this level? We all know not everybody is going to make it. This roster is going to go from 90 down to 53 at the end of the preseason. That's 37 guys who will not be on the regular season roster when week one rolls around. But the opportunity is there. And just to give fans a sense of some of the roster moves and how this happens, the Packers actually came into rookie weekend, rookie orientation, with 87 players on the roster. They had three open spots. They signed five tryout players, had to release two other players because the roster maximum right now is 90.
Yeah, Tabor Pepper, a long snapper. So right now that leaves Hart as their only long snapper on the roster out of James Madison. And then also receiver Anton Goodley, who was on the practice squad at the end of last year, were released during those cuts. So you had to get to 90. That's a tough thing. So it's what the Packers had to do.
Yeah, and we'll watch what happens with the long snapper situation now, because Brett Goode, the veteran, is still unsigned as an unrestricted free agent. So with that, we'll sign off on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.